Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We are here with our guest, Sabrina Chacko. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I did. Just making sure. My brother's middle name is Chacko. I think you already knew this because I told you this a long time ago. But we're happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All the way from Guam / San Francisco. We were just talking about how you grew up in Guam until you were about 5, right?
Yes.
So what was that like? Do you remember anything from when you were just a wee little toddler to growing up, you know, till you're 5?
I remember very little since I was so young.
Yeah, of course.
But I think I remember my preschool a little bit. And then when I went back, when I revisited when I was 19, I got to see the preschool and then vision started coming back to me. Wow. So that was pretty cool.
You know, it's like whenever you go back to a childhood place, it always looks way smaller than you remember.
Absolutely.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
I always think that's such a trip. It's like, it looks so gigantic, and then you go back as an adult or, you know, years later, and you're like, oh, this is way smaller than I imagined.
Right,
you know,
definitely.
It's crazy. So you grew up in San Francisco, or just about like a suburb outside of San Francisco? Whereabouts?
Yeah, so I actually first moved to a town called Livermore. It's a small town in like the Valley area outside of Oakland. And I actually went to school in Oakland, middle school through high school. So those were really my stomping grounds where I spent the most time.
That's awesome. And you were in a children's choir or like a high school choir?
Yes. So I actually went to Oakland School for the Arts, and they had various different choirs that you could be a part of. And so I was a part of concert choir, vocal rush. It was an a cappella group.
How many people were in the a cappella group?
I would say about like 10 to 12.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know? Yeah. Close
knit. It's like a good number. So it's like not too many voices on one part.
Yeah.
But I'm sure concert choir was like 30 or 40 people.
Yeah, definitely a lot more.
And what kind of music were you doing when you were doing that?
Oh, well, we studied so many different types of music. We did world music, so I learned music in different languages.
That's
which
awesome.
Was really cool. I loved that part of
like,
it.
Like what languages?
Swahili.
That's awesome.
We did songs in Spanish, Italian, Bulgarian.
Wow.
So we really were well-versed and immersed into a wide variety of different genres. We studied classical music, jazz. I'm really grateful for the whole experience.
It's kind of crazy because it's like, when you study, I was in a children's choir too, and it's like when you learn so much music like that and high school choirs and stuff like that, you just kind of assume, oh, this is like what everybody learns in choir, but then you realize what a wide variety of music you were exposed to.
Right.
And like what your ear's doing when it's getting exposed to that. You're like, you're talking time periods, you're talking languages, you're talking styles. I mean, just the styles you mentioned, classical, jazz, you probably did some like gospel stuff too. All those are such different time periods and vibes. What were you drawn to the most in each style?
Definitely, I am a very adventurous spirit. So I loved world music. Getting to understand different cultures through music was really cool. So I loved that part about that. Jazz and solo repertoire, those classes, I think were my most favorite just because, soul and jazz are really close to my heart, and I discovered that while I was going to school in Oakland. It was just very prominent there.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's like where Tower of Power came about.
Right.
A lot of funk music. That was like a whole sound. The Oakland sound was like a big part of the 70s, the 60s. A lot of the protest songs came from there. It's like,
definitely
that whole area is so vibrant with music. So yes. I was thinking when you said you went to an art school, I'm like, that must have been a very talented group of kids.
Oh, it was
that
amazing.
You were bouncing ideas off of and singing with. You know what I mean?
For sure. It was really cool because you had different emphases, right? You would have vocal music, which is what I was in, but also instrumental, visual arts, circus arts too.
Wow.
Like, and theater, of course. And so you would just hear people banging on the lockers in the middle of the hallway, just making music. And you would it was just really, really cool.
That's insane. And like, what were the ages of everybody?
So it was middle school through high school. So people would be probably anywhere from 12 to 18.
How did you hear about the school? I've never even heard of that school. It's crazy.
Yeah. So when I was little, I told my mom that I really wanted to go to an art school. And then so she helped me look online for art schools near our area, and we were even willing to move for it.
That's
it was
awesome.
Just something I really wanted
to do. You
got a good
family to do that.
Definitely, definitely very supportive family. And so she found OSA, Oakland School for the Arts, and it was a two-hour train ride from where we were living currently. And I said, I want to go. So I hopped on the BART every day, 2 hours.
Wow.
And I went to school. It was great.
Did you ever get to tour with the singing group that you sung for President Obama mm-hmm. with the group? You were on the Ellen Show.
Yes.
So I assume you did like bus tours, right, with the group?
Yeah. So actually, the tour happened separately that I experienced. So I did a lot of shows with the choir, like for President Obama and for Jerry Brown, all of that. But then I got on a tour for Zendaya Coleman, and I was her background singer.
Awesome.
And she also went to OSA, and we met there. She held auditions at the school, and I was the one of the ones lucky enough to get in. And we toured all across the country in Canada. We did shows like Ellen and Extra, and it was an incredible experience.
That's
sure.
awesome. So you got a real taste of the touring life.
Yes.
Right then. You're like, oh, I see how this is. This is exactly what I want to do.
Oh, yeah. I got the full taste, 3 a.m. call times, waking up in a different city every day. It was tough, but also I was
so fun.
I was so young at the time, like 16, and getting my first taste of freedom, and it was incredibly fun. It was really, really cool.
I find that those like early like morning talk shows or like the, you know, whatever it is, radio, TV, those are the hardest as you get older, because when I was in my 20s doing them, it was like, oh, no problem, I'll be there. And now it's like, oh man, that's early. That is so early that, man, traveling is crazy with it. But it's exciting when you're doing it.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Still exciting. But I mean, when you're doing it at 16 years old, mm-hmm. you're overly excited because it's like, oh my God, this is crazy. I'm not like at home doing homework. I get to do a radio show or a TV show. What
totally.
Was your favorite experience of all of those experiences?
Oh, that's so tough because there were so many. I think it would probably be one, meeting Obama. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Getting this thing for Obama. And then another was, I think, meeting the fans after the show on the Zendaya tour and just seeing their faces light up and, you know, tell me, hey, I want to be, you know, doing art like you someday, or just getting to connect with them and looking out into the crowd and seeing people enjoying themselves, like realizing you're creating an experience for people that they're going to remember. Because I remember my like first Disney concert. I saw Hilary Duff like,
that's awesome.
Back in the day. And I told myself, hey, I want to be on that stage someday. And then little did I know, it actually happened and I was touring with Disney. So
that has to be a rush too, because you're like, oh, I'm living that part of me that was a kid seeing it on the other side. I'm living the other side now and doing it. So
totally.
So then when was the crossroads where you're like, okay, this is fun, but I want to do my own music and I want to do my own writing and I want to take a step out on my own? Where was that moment of zen for you?
Yeah. See, I was always writing my own songs. It first started when I was 14 years old, studying at OSA, and my teacher had a songwriting workshop. And so I wrote a song called Love Ain't Just a Lie, which is actually going to be on my upcoming EP that I'll mention
that's
a little
exciting.
Later.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Definitely. My first song that I wrote and completed is going to be on there. So definitely the roots are going to be instilled in it. And so after I wrote that first song, it just started tumbling from there and I just couldn't stop writing. And then after the tour, I realized like, hey, all of these songs are sitting here. I really want to share it with the world. And become my own artist. And so I decided to hone in on that and I studied at the Songwriting School of Los Angeles to really polish everything.
That's where I was teaching you too.
Yes, so exactly. That's where we met. It was really cool. I took one of your classes and it definitely helped me a lot in the process. And so.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like when I was designing the class, I was designing it for artists like yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what you want to do. You know what it takes to get out there and do it. And it's like, you know, being a road warrior is, it's not an easy job, but yeah. Now you're prepared to do it. And now you're making your first EP. Tell us what that's like.
It is a process. a process that I'm very grateful for. Definitely it's going, you know, slower than I would have anticipated, but also better than I could have ever imagined. Like when I envisioned these songs, I had no idea they were going to come to life in the way that they are.
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I have some really talented musicians on the album, a really great producer. And so with that team, I can tell that they're super passionate about the project, and that's translating in the sound, and it's making me really excited for it.
Out of curiosity, just because it's hard for me to remember all the things that I thought, wow, this is taking way longer or way shorter. What's the one thing that surprised you that was taking longer to get done?
I think just the actually getting into the studio, because like you're working with everyone's schedules and everything, and including your own, and life's hitting everybody, so it's hard to get everyone together. But once you do, magic happens, and it's all worth it. Like, definitely the wait is worth it, the work is worth it. Once you hear it and you also like see everyone enjoying themselves, enjoying creating this art that you're building together, it's really, really cool.
That's awesome. I remember being super frustrated recording to a click for the first time with guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Voice, no problem. But actually playing to a click was frustrating for me. And I just remember thinking, how come I can't do this? This is crazy. This should be so easy for me. And being overwhelmed by it and thinking, I don't know if I can do this. And now it's like second nature to do it. So it's like, it's going to be exciting for you to see the things that were either challenging to you in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
or by the time you finish the record, some things you'll accomplish by the time you finish the record. And then record to record, the things you'll see that you keep overcoming and be, you know, keep being excited about. I always find like that first glimpse of the song when you see it all coming together is like one of the most exciting parts. Tell us what that's like for you as you are embarking on this first EP and you're starting mm-hmm. to see a glimpse of what it's all sounding like.
It's incredible, just because like I said, I started writing songs back when I was 14, and now, and some songs on the album, the EP, are really recent too, like in the beginning of this year. And so it's really cool to see this journey, because the songs are snapshots of really impactful moments in my life, and it's cool to hear it all together and to realize how much I've grown, and to see it all in one body of work is really exciting.
You're like, this is what I want to do forever.
Yes.
it, you know, it becomes like a drug, because it's like, it's its own instrument. Just walking into a studio, the studio becomes an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, it's like, it's kind of the place where your dreams come true. It's like the yes. songs come to life. You're in there doing what you wanted to do. You've been trained to do this. So like, you've been working on your voice, you've been working on your songwriting, you're working on your playing. And now it's this place where you can document where you are. That's the best part of making a record. It's like a time capsule. You get to just say, this is where I am in this point in my life, and this is how I feel, and these are the views I have. And that's one of the most exciting things. You know, for me, 20 years making records now, I look back at my first records and it's like, you sound differently than, you know, 10 years later, 5 years later. You're going to hear the record differently as time goes by. So it's like, I love how open you are to the experience. Let's have you play something. What are you going to play for okay. us first?
Yeah, sure. So I'll play a song called Am I a Fool? It's going to be the first song on the EP. It's just basically about, I was at a time in my life where I didn't know if I believed in love. Just because, you know, had a bad breakup, all of that. And
the bad breakups always happen so young. Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah, totally, totally. But then I watched a movie. I think it was called Playing It Cool or something like that on Netflix. And it was about this, it was a classic rom-com, just about this character that decides that he's going to try, you know? And then he ends up falling again, but he's like hesitant the whole movie. And then finally at the end of the movie, he gives in. to that feeling. And so that's kind of what this song is about, that struggle, like, oh, I don't want to give in to this. What is this going to be like? And me just being nervous about when love would hit me again. What would that feel like? Would I be okay? And would I be a fool in love?
I love it. I love that backstory too.
Yeah.
All right, let's see you play it.
Okay, for sure.
You're like, let me just get some water on my voice. Lubricate the vocal cords.
It's important. It's important.
It's so important, you know? I get it. I get it.
All right, I'm taking off these headphones.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, you good.
Am I a fool for loving and falling way too deep into you? Am I a fool for wanting to give myself completely? 'Cause maybe I do. So what do you feel, boy? And don't you dare lie, I only want what's real, because I value my time. I need to be free, darling. Live like I'm alive. Are you really down for the ride? No more the mixed signs. Let's leave pride behind. We could be the real thing if we gave us a try. If we gave us a try. Am I a fool? Am I falling only to get broken apart? Am I a fool for nothing? Do I let you in or do I put sing my heart? 'Cause you got me thinking about you, you're crossing my mind. I'm happy on my own, but you feel good by my side. What is the move, darling? What are we to do? 'Cause I'm clearly feeling you. No more of mixed signs. Let's leave pride behind. Us a try. 1, 2, 3, and man, here I go again. Gotta listen to what I'm feeling and get out of my head. I'm here standing up on the edge. Let's dive right in. Oh, ain't ready, but I'm pushing myself. Skip on, I give it, I can't help the way I'm feeling, boy. Am I a fool for loving? Falling way too deep into you.
Yeah. Ooh, our studio audience loves it. That was great. That was so good.
Thank you so much.
Tell me, like, you know, you're obviously influenced by R&B artists.
Yes.
So tell me which ones are the biggest and most influential for you.
I would have to say that would be Stevie Wonder, Alicia Keys, and Indy Irie.
You just made my heart do backflips. You know what? You're a young artist, and most young artists wouldn't have picked those three. I love that you said those three. That what a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
But you must have had some good parents that showed you Stevie Wonder.
yes, I had good parents. Also, my grandpa was in a jazz band.
Awesome.
Also, OSA helped a lot with that, too, showing
amazing.
Me all the different types of music that I'm now in love with. But, yeah, I just love that loving liveliness that Stevie has
yes.
in his songs.
Yes.
It just makes you feel good. It gives you this energy. And yeah, it's just magical.
I feel like Stevie Wonder is one of those artists that is truly the epitome of what an artist should be.
Right.
It's like you can cross genres, you can do any style, you can make it funky, you can make it, you know, beautiful and tender and sweet. And it's like, you know, I'm shocked that he's not more of a songwriter to younger generations. Because like I have a lot of like younger artists too, and they'll say, oh yeah, like Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift. And I'm like, man, you're missing this whole world of music that is some of the best music ever written that is timeless, but it's not necessarily in the pop realm right now, but it's still so timeless, you know? Yeah, so it's amazing that, you know, just the fact that you're listening to that stuff, it's going to slowly start seeping into your music, you know, and just the fact that he's an influence is amazing. How did you hear about Indie Irie?
Indie Irie, on one of my shows I did at OSA, we did one of her songs. It was called Little Things. And I fell in love with that song. I started looking up more of her music. And she just has this emotional insight in her songs and just sense of truth that I really resonate with. And it just hits so deep. It's so true and just right. And I can listen to her at any time. It's just amazing, her good vibes and her pure voice,
and she's so free as a performer.
Absolutely, like she's
just fluid. I actually got the chance to meet her. She did a show at the Hotel Cafe, like a real intimate show, and I got to meet her. And my bass player played with her the night before on the Tonight Show with Will.i.am and like this whole huge band. And she was like, "Man, your bass player is so good." And I'm like, "You're so good. I just saw you at the Greek, and now you're even better." And it's she's just like one of those artists, but you have that thing too. It's like you can hear that R&B thing, that sweetness, that soulfulness. It's like you're mixing a whole bunch of genres, but you have this message. But I know you feel R&B music also because they're romance. They're songs about romance. There's something that like a good love song can hit us in a place in a different way than any other song. You know, I was just having this debate with a friend of mine. It's like, you know, Bob Marley, one of the reasons he's so popular, he wrote love songs. He didn't just write about politics, or he didn't just write it, you know, about funky good times. He wrote about love songs, about romance, about just being that kind of like unrequited love, or like, you know, all those things. In your writing process as a songwriter, what are you thinking about? A direction of the song? Are you thinking about a mood? Are you thinking about a perspective or insight that you're gaining as you're going through life? What's like one of the main ways that you write? What's your process?
It's interesting because I don't usually, my process isn't usually I sit down and, okay, I'm going to write a song. It's more of I need to grab a pen and paper because I have to write this song that that's in my head. And it's because when I write music, it's because I'm trying to make sense of the world around me, of something within myself that I don't quite have hold of. That
you just
I
gave
need
me chills.
Yeah.
I love that answer. It's a great answer.
Thank you. Yeah, it really helps me find clarity in life and in how I interact with others. And how the world works. So I usually start with a question or with some kind of confusion, and then it's like my form of therapy. By the end of it, I understand something new and something different, and something just makes sense.
You know, a lot of people don't understand how much musicians, like even with my friends, like, oh man, you're so lucky you play music. This is such a great thing. But it's therapy for us. You know, it's like we seek insight and clarity, like what you just said, from playing music, from writing, from singing, from it's like how we kind of adapt and kind of get through the circus that life is. So tell us about this song that you wrote as a 14-year-old girl. You're putting it on your EP. Tell us a little bit about how this song came about.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, my teacher at the time had a songwriting workshop after school. It was like at her house, and it was really cool because it had this nice backyard and this whole music studio in the back that was a separate building from her building. And it was my first time, you know, trying to songwrite. And I sat down at the piano and found this little lick that I really liked. And I started playing with it. It started unfolding. And the song's called Love Ain't Just a Lie. It's about understanding that we're all the same, in a sense. Like, we all have been through a lot. And we all are just trying to figure this thing out together. And the way to best do that is to love each other. You know, so it's more about of a universal love, even though it sounds like it's a romantic love. It could be that, too.
I just love that you wrote this. You wrote this at 14?
I did, yes.
You were a very insightful 14-year-old.
Thank you.
I was like trying to play video games at 14. Like, you're like solving the world's mysteries. I love it. All right, so this is Love Ain't Just a Lie.
Yes.
All right, Sabrina Chaco, here it comes.
That's afraid to love. It's been lied to. Too many times before, we put trust in those who bring us down. Hear you from miles away, they don't know. You're screaming someone, please lift me off the ground again. I've been lost, I've been broken. The hurt and pain I felt inside, only you can fix for those beautiful eyes that'll always make me smile. If you'd only let me try to show you again how love ain't just just a lie, no, 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 no. I should tell you how I've been broken too. We've all been lied to. And every day I hear enough. Ignored and pushed aside. Outside I say I'm fine, but I'm screaming, someone please lift me off the ground again. I've been lost, I've been broken. The hurt and pain I found inside, only you can fix with those beautiful eyes that'll always make me smile. Only let me try to show you again how love ain't just a lie. Love ain't just a lie, no, 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 no. Lift me up, give me your trust and I will be someone. Lift me up, I've been waiting for ya. Lift me up, I will be ready.
So pretty. Love the chords. Love the vocals. So intimate. Yeah. Simple, but just beautiful and poetic.
Thank you.
I was in a trance listening to that. Seriously, awesome. It was so great. I love the bridge, too. The bridge is so hip. It just starts picking up. And you're like, oh. Wow. Who's playing piano on that?
Me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sabrina. Man.
Yeah. Piano was my first instrument. Yeah.
You never mentioned that.
Oh, yeah.
How long have you been playing piano?
I actually started piano lessons almost before I started vocal lessons.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you start playing like classical music or what did you start with?
Yeah. It started with classical music, evolved into like musical theater music, and then eventually became pop music and R&B.
Do you have a preference between guitar and piano?
Ooh, that's tough because guitar has becoming closer to me lately with songwriting, but piano is always going to be my first
You know, it's funny, we have that parallel because I started on piano too, and I made my last 7 records with all guitar with a couple of piano tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, like, now I'm starting to flesh out, you know, songs for a new record, and like 80% of them are piano songs with the band. And it's just like, it's such a different bag, but it's like, it's made me fall in love with making music again because it brings you back to this place of when you first started.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So piano, I like, that's why I asked too, because I know with guitar, because it's so portable,
mm-hmm.
it's naturally going to be
yes.
something that's always right by you or with you that you can write on. And it becomes like, oh, this is becoming more and more of who I am.
Right.
But just always keep playing that piano. That was great piano playing.
Thank
Seriously.
You. Thank
great
you so
chords,
much.
Great arrangement. Awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, it's definitely, there's going to be light production around it. Right now it's still in, that's a rough mix. That's
I loved
key,
it like
so.
That. That was great.
Thank you.
Should
Thank
definitely you. Keep that version.
Okay.
Keep that version, I'm telling you, because you use it as like a, you know, like a B-side to the song.
Right.
You know, don't cool. be afraid of keeping it raw like that. It's amazing. Yeah. It sounds so good.
Thank
it sounds
you.
So good. So when you were writing, did you come up with those chords first? Did you come up with the message, the melody?
I came up with that little lick that you hear in the beginning first. It's interesting how oftentimes my songs unfold from beginning to end. I know a lot of times people can start with the chorus
right,
or
right.
something like that. But usually I'll start off with a lick when I go into songwriting, and then it becomes something.
I love that. I write the same way. I think riffs are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the fluidity of starting with a verse, seeing where it ends up with a pre-chorus or a chorus,
right.
and then like getting to that bridge. I always find like that bridge is like that. Oh, where do I go with this? Like,
yes.
How do I make this different and exciting?
That's the
but
fun part.
That is sure. the fun part because it's like going to a different place. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to go on vacation now.
Right.
Let this be this section. Let me ask you this. Coming from Guam and also just being around Oakland, how do you think those influences come into your songwriting or your musicianship or your singing or your melodies?
That's a great question. I definitely think that, being Chamorro, which is the native people of Guam, it was hard because I didn't meet a lot of other Chamorros growing up. I was always put in some kind of other category.
Hmm.
And because people just didn't understand. People, even when I was younger, they would say like, oh, you're from Guam? You're making that up. And
you're like,
yeah,
no, I'm not.
Yeah. And so I was struggling a little bit with identity. And I think that caused me to ask a lot of questions at a very young age, that along with many other things that you run into in life. But I think culture specifically, I fell in love with my culture again when I got to go back to Guam and reconnect with it. And seeing how many things now make sense because of my ancestry and who my people are and how we work and the traditions that we have. I think definitely a lot of that heart goes into my music. We're very family oriented. We're very community oriented. Like in Guam, you just have your front door pretty much open and you see people sitting on the porches playing guitar. I had no idea, but almost everyone in Guam plays guitar. It's kind of ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Yeah. When I went back, we were just playing guitar and sitting on the beach and singing.
Amazing.
Group of us. And it was beautiful, and they do it because they love it, you know.
Yes.
Not because they're trying to get likes or anything like
you
that.
You know, the funny thing is, like, I always feel like when I jam or when I play with people like that, it's like so pure,
right?
And it's like, it almost like, it's like, what am I doing chasing this other little spotlight part of music when this is what it's all about? So it's
right.
like, it's funny when you say that, when you went back, you had this experience where it's like communal and like really about the love of it.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you a question that's going to teach me. What about Guam music, like music from Guam?
Mm-hmm.
Like what influences or what artists were you just starting to discover or explore that you could see like, oh, you know what? This is a style that I like and it could
yeah.
seep into a song, you know?
Because
totally. I'm the same way with you. I'm my family's from India, but it's like I definitely haven't been making Indian music
mm-hmm.
because I feel like, well, that's better for people that really know that music to be doing it.
Right.
But I also start seeing that it could seep into songs as an influence because it's an important part
yeah,
of who I am.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely Guam has its own island style, but also the cha-cha is very prominent there. It's like the dance there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so Guam is really a mixing pot of Spanish culture because, you know, Spain like overtook it
right.
In its early stages. And also Asian culture. It's so close to Japan. A lot of Filipinos go there. I'm also half Filipina. So, yeah, so Asian culture is mixed in. And then you have American culture because it's a U.S. territory. So it's a mixing pot of those three. And you hear that in the music. And you see that in dancing. There's classic Chamorro dances that are really rhythmic and cool and interesting. But also the cha-cha is, like, so smooth. And when I just watch my dad, and my dad's an amazing dancer, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, he was on American Bandstand actually. Like,
what?
Really early. Yeah,
that's amazing.
He was super cool. But yeah, so when I see him dance the cha-cha at family reunions, and just to see how fluid the movement is and how smooth it is, I definitely feel like that translates a little bit into my music, and also, like I said, like before, the liveliness of it.
You got to make a music video with that.
Yeah,
I mean, even to your music, like with this style, it'd be cool to see how that can kind of pair with it. Because, right. I mean, just I never would have even thought the cha-cha was an influence in Guam. Like, it's so crazy to me that I'm like, wow, I never would have paired those two together. I would always think it's Latin American or something. So do you think you'll ever do any of that style in your music, or it'll seep its way in? Or do you think, you know what, there's R&B music and rock and pop. You know, when you're kind of growing up and also just being influenced by that music, that's all you want to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's like, as you get older, as you kind of get more and more rooted in who you are as a songwriter and artist, you're going to start seeing that's one of the things that's going to make you different.
Right.
It's like incorporating those things. You know, yeah, I'm discovering it now where I'm like, man, world music has always been a huge part of my sound, but the one part of the world music I didn't really do is Indian music. So I'm like, I'm starting to go back and I'm like, you know what? It'd be cool to put like sitar parts here, do little things that I haven't done yet, you know, to make things different. So something I'm just curious about just from my own insights.
Totally. I would love to maybe do a verse one day in Chamorro. Just really dive into the cha-cha and dive into my culture in a song. That would be really amazing, especially because I want to represent my culture in the media. Like I said before, when I was younger, I didn't see a lot of representation at all. And I didn't, you know, meet a lot of people that were of my culture. And so if I can represent my culture in a positive light, if I can, you know, show people, hey, this is Guam, this is who we are, this is our music too, that would be amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
So I would definitely love to do that and incorporate more of that into my music as I grow.
Awesome. Well, let's play something else. What are you going to play us next?
It was hard to choose songs.
You know, it always is.
Yeah,
it always is.
I they're all so close to my heart, so it's hard to pick them. But I think I'm going to go with, a song called Looks Like. And it's about abusive relationships, actually. So my dad, growing up, my dad was actually an abusive alcoholic, and we have an amazing relationship now, because he's been sober for years and years, and it was really great to see that anyone can turn their life around completely and become a, you know, different and better person. But
it's not easy.
Yeah, it is not easy at all, and so it was very inspiring to see him do that. But during the times that he was the way he was, it was tough. And music really helped me through that time. And I also had a friend when I wrote this song. I was around 16. And I had a friend who her boyfriend at the time had broken her arm.
Wow.
And it was really intense. And she was just telling me the way that she was feeling about everything. And then so I kind of related to her in a sense because of the relationship I had growing up, and I was like, I need to write a song about this. And so then came Looks Like.
Awesome. Let's hear it.
Yeah, totally.
That's a pretty deep topic.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's heavy, but you know, I feel like that's
but that's what's when, real.
Yeah.
That's you know, there's something about it. It's like you're gonna heal somebody listening by playing this song. You know what I mean?
That's because the goal.
That's what it's about. So it doesn't always have to be light and fluffy. It's like beautiful when you actually get into that deep stuff, you know?
Absolutely. Totally. Get some water here.
No problem. No problem. No problem. That's the biggest smart water bottle I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. You know, my vocal coach always told me to have a gallon of water on you when you sing. And so I've like really stuck to that.
That's good. Well, you found it in that bottle.
Yeah. Right. mistake. Hurting me was just a mistake. Said you were great. What you did, well, I'm not built to be a boomerang. I can't come back till you throw me away. Now you're here asking me to stay. But looks like to me you gave up. Looks like to me love just wasn't enough. What the hell? I thought I could tell when something was real. It'd be a lie if I said I don't miss you. You're on my mind all of the time. The sweet things you say to me, do they mean something? Are you selling the truth? It's me hurting worth loving you. But looks like to me you gave up. Looks like to me love just wasn't enough. What the hell? I thought I could tell when something was real. I thought it was true. Just confused. I'm not the woman to walk over. Your mind games are over. Goodbye. I'm not gonna cry. I know what I'm worth. No, loving you ain't worth a hurt. Looks like to me you gave up. Looks like to me love just wasn't enough. What the hell? Thought I could tell when something was real. So looks like to me I'll be leaving.
I'm going to speak for all of our listeners because that just made me feel like,
nice.
You took a very potent subject and you made it very tender. That's what's really cool about that, that the story in the song is very potent, but it's like you did it in a way where it's like, it was like soothing. It was like soothing to hear. It's like, you know, sometimes painful songs also can be painful to hear,
mm-hmm.
but that was not painful to hear. It's like, oh, this just feels like a warm blanket that I need all the time because it's just soothing any hurt that I've ever felt.
Right.
That's what's beautiful about that.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. My focus is to turn pain in life into beauty through music and to give people that sense of light through dark times.
Amazing. How old were you when you wrote that?
That one's 16.
Wow. That's a heavy song for a 16-year-old. You must have been a very deep child.
I guess so. I guess so. Like I said before, you know, going through so much when I'm young has caused me to ask a lot of questions. And I think those questions led me to more questions and then maybe some answers.
Let me ask you this, too, because I'm always curious about this with young artists, new artists. When you see how music is released and how it's received, and you probably use Spotify and things like that.
Right.
How do you plan on releasing your EP? Like, are you going all digital networks, streaming? Are you doing videos? Like, what's the market that you're trying to grab or captivate? How are you going
to
do it?
Yeah. So I definitely want it to be on all platforms. I want it to be on everywhere from Spotify to Apple Music to YouTube. I do want to make some videos, too. I think our generation is very visual. That really captivates them. I've noticed even just with social media, videos really capture people more because it's engaging. They get to peer into a whole another world, and people like that. And I like creating it. So I definitely think that that's going to be a big part of it is a lot of visuals. And like I said, just making it as accessible as possible. I want, you know, everyone to hear it, because the more people that can hear it, the more opportunity there is to touch someone, to connect with someone. So,
and I always tell young artists, it's like, you can't ever dictate when a record is done,
mm-hmm.
but when do you think your record will be done? When are you planning on it hopefully being done?
Right. I really want it to be done by the end of this year, and I would really love to release it either around like February or March. February, a lot of love is in the air, and you know, a lot of the records have to do with love, even self-love, most important, by the way.
Yeah.
And then March is my birthday, so it would be cool to release it around then too. So February, March, we'll see.
So are you Pisces?
I'm actually an Aries.
When's your birthday?
March 29th.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're the end. Yeah. You're the end of that. I like that. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then where can people find you for social media or Instagram? Lay us, you know, all your handles. Lay it all on us.
Yeah. So on Instagram, I am Sabrina Chaco Music.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
Yeah, sure. It's S-A-B-R-I-N-A. And then last name Chaco, C-H-A-C-O, Music. And on all the other handles are going to be Sabrina Chaco 96, just because I haven't changed it yet to Sabrina Chaco Music. But 96 was the year I was born, so.
That's the year I graduated high school. High five.
Wow.
That's awesome. Well, I'm an old man, but, you know, my brother spells Chaco, his middle name, with a K.
Oh,
so I wonder,
okay,
like, how that the K got lost, or the K disappeared from your side of the fence to India, you know. But so interesting. I'd never met another Chaco from another part of the world until you walked into my classroom. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to hear your new record. Are you playing live anytime soon, or do you have an idea where you want to do your CD release?
I don't have a full set plan for that yet. I just am really focusing on finishing the record, and then I can dream about the release and all that. But
it's almost too overwhelming to do live shows and a record. It's
totally
just crazy.
I was doing a lot of live shows, and then I decided to buckle down on recording. I was doing a lot of live shows with this collective community called Collabo, and I did a lot of shows with them all over Los Angeles, so that was really cool. And you know, definitely I'd want them to be involved in my release too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Sabrina, we're so thankful that you came by tonight. You're going to have to come back when your album's out.
Yes.
And we'll do a whole feature on your record. And I'm so proud of how far you've come as an artist and all the places you're going to go with your music. Because it really is. Your music's great. Your voice is great. Your songwriting's great. Stay that deep child that you are and always will be.
Thank you.
One more time, just mention your handles on social media so everybody can make sure they can check it out.
Sure, absolutely. So I do have an official website too. They can go to www.sabrinachaco.com. That's where everything's going to be found. But socials, you can find me on Instagram at Sabrina Chaco Music, and then everywhere else on YouTube, on Twitter, Snapchat, all that is Sabrina Chaco 96.
I'm amazed. I can't wait to hear your record. I'm very proud of you. Keep rocking on in the free world. And on behalf of Ronan, who's in the room just listening and swooning to this music himself, my name is Nikki Carulla. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Sabrina.
Thank you.